Good morning. So what do you all think the theme of the conference has been? Grace. What was that? Kindness and brotherly love. I was thinking of the word kindness too as I was thinking about the kindness of the Lord to give us the Holy Spirit, the kindness of the Lord that we live in the sphere of forgiveness, the kindness of the Lord, the grace that Brother Ryan spoke about, kindness all the way through. That seems just reminded all over again and again, how we need to be reminded just how kind the Lord is. I was just speaking with Brother Don yesterday when he was done, and I was asking him something about his take on the churches there in Revelation. And not too long ago, I preached through those seven churches, and it was amazing to me how and what lengths and extents the Lord Jesus Christ went to with people who were either lost in the church, nigh unto apostatizing, falling away. And He's calling them back, calling them back, calling them back. And Don said, it's the same God of the Old Testament. He says He just shows us Israel going away, again and again, apostatizing, falling away into sin. And God just keeps bringing them back, bringing them back, bringing... The picture of Hosea, just God so kind. And this conference has reminded me just all over of that, just how kind God is. Very kind. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your kindness towards us, so undeserving. All the kindness that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, all that You've done for us. Lord, we would just with united heart right now, thank You. Thank You, Father. Thank You for all that You've done for us, all the kindness that You've shown to us, both when we were lost, when we were dead in our trespasses and sins. What kindness, what mercy, what love did You love us with when we were yet sinners, when we were yet without hope and separated from Christ. We just want to thank You. Thank You, thank You. In Christ's name, amen. I really have a simple message this morning. There's not going to be anything deeply theological about it. I'd have you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. I want to begin reading in verse 5, the very well-known parable of the soils. The title of my message, Some Thoughts on Thorns. I'm not going to exposit this parable. I'm going to read it because I want you to notice the thorns in these verses. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded a hundredfold. And as he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, He said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Now I know that there's a debate, or has been, over some of the meanings of this parable. I was converted some 23 years ago reading John MacArthur's Gospel According to Jesus, and in that book he actually deals with this parable. And you know, he was arguing against these non-lordship guys that, you know, everybody agrees on the first type of soil here, right? Jesus makes it plain that it's plucked up so that they don't believe and are not saved. So nobody argues that one. And nobody argues the last, the fourth, because we see good things all the way through. It's good soil, they're fruit bearing. Nobody argues those two, at least not that I know. Somebody's always arguing something. But those two middle ones. And you know, if we just step back and we just look at the big picture, obviously there's aspects there that we would need to sort through. But if we just step back and look at the big picture, my dad was a farmer. My dad planted crops. My dad planted corn. He planted soybean. He was looking for a harvest, not just for a plant that wilted and fell away, not for something that came up and it was nice leafy but it didn't bear any fruit. You plant seed to get fruit. That's the big picture here. You're sowing seed. The whole idea is you want fruit. And the big difference, the great difference between the various soils here is this. Did the soil bring forth fruit, or did it not bring forth fruit? I mean, if you want to properly estimate the quality of the soil, what do? You examine what it brings forth. Is there failure or success in fruit bearing? That's the issue. I mean, that's, if you step back and look at the big picture of this parable, that's what you get. Does it bear fruit or doesn't it? And by the way, Jesus does not ascribe that word good to anything that doesn't bear fruit, only to that which is fruit bearing. It's that simple. But my objective this morning is that we might consider these thorns that we see there in verse 7, verse 14. I'm not so much concerned about whether the thorny soil represents a lost man or a saved man. That isn't the issue. Because the issue is this. What the thorns do to the man or to the woman who end up not being fruitful, they have the same effect. Even if you are a true Christian, they have the same effect on you. They can choke people to the place where it's bad. They're gone. There was no reality. But those same thorns can choke us too, and they can do this very same thing. They attack the fruit, they hinder the fruit, and they'll do that in our lives just as well. So, some thoughts on thorns. I mean, what is a thorn? Think in your minds. Can you see one? A thorn. And now you have a mental image of the physical reality, a thorn, a pricker, a briar. But Jesus doesn't leave us in the dark as to what he means, what this is a picture of. Right? In verse 14, he shows us very clearly. Let's read that verse again. As for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they're choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. So let's look at the first one there. He describes three. Here's the thorns: cares, riches, pleasures of life. Think about cares, worries, anxieties. And Matthew actually calls these the cares of this world or the cares of this age. Think about that. That terminology, this age, this present evil age. There's a God of this age. We have worries of this age. Worries that are typical to the world, this setting in which we're in. And you know, we could go through them. You know what they are. You know the types of things. But just think with me here, because there's something ominous about these worries. At least as I was thinking about this. Every one of us drove here from somewhere. And I was just imagining, however, some closer, some further, but you came down streets and highways. Imagine if we could take all the thoughts of all the people that you passed when you came here. Right at the instant you pass by them, if you could get a snapshot of their thoughts. All these people that you passed by, and we could take all those, and we could gather them together, and we could begin to sort through them, and decipher them, and categorize them. You would have a good estimation of what the cares of this age look like. But you know what would be disturbing about that? Certainly they fall into a lot of different categories. And you'd find people thinking about crazy things, worrying about crazy things, a little scratch that they got on their car. Just whether it's going to rain or not, whether it's not going to rain or not. You know, those kind of things, as we dissect them and we dig through them, you know what we're going to find about these cares of this age? Is there's no care of God in them. God is not in all their thoughts. That's going to be the most disturbing thing about all this, is we would be amazed by some of the things that people are thinking about. We would be shocked by some of the things people... But the thing is that cloud that would hang over all, and whatever the cares of this age are, they're not a care for God. And now you move on. Riches. Well, it just says riches here in Luke. Matthew and Mark say the deceitfulness of riches. And I was just listening to a rich man just recently on the radio who was defending his riches. He's claiming to be a Christian, but defending his riches. And people, you know, how often do Americans like to jump in there? Well, you know, it's not just money, it's the love of money. But my brother and sister, are you so sure that you don't love it? I mean, you know, I've found that a good estimation of how much we love something is how much we think about it. I mean, how much do you really think about money? And then you move on, the pleasures of life. The pleasure. John Piper said that America today is a Disneyland. There's pleasure seeking, all the toys, all the things that occupy people's minds as they're seeking to pursue pleasure and comfort and security, and you know it. It's all around us. We're bombarded by it. It's in the advertising. It comes at us in every direction. But here's the thing. If you look at Mark's gospel, he doesn't call this the pleasures of life. He calls it by another name, the desires for other things. There's something haunting about that phrase. The desires for other things. Other than what? For other things. As though Jesus is saying there's something that men ought to have a desire for, but these people that are being choked, these thorns, it's a desire for other things. Well, other than what? Other than Christ, other than His kingdom, other than the Word of God, other than obedience to Him, other than serving Him, other than all that's good, other things, other. You see, that's the thing about the thorns. What are the thorns doing? What's the basic nature of these thorns? In every one of these things that he mentions, what are the thorns? The cares of this age are many, but they're not a care for God. Riches, they challenge the mastery of God in our life. We heard it the other day that you're gonna serve the one and you're gonna hate the other. Riches have a way of creeping in. They have a way of sending roots down in our heart before we hardly know that they're there, and we're not hardly willing to admit that they're there. We're controlled by money in this country far more than we know. I mean, literally, we are in an age of thorns. I mean, that's my burden in this message, that we live, and it's almost like Andy Hamilton saying that, you know, you live in this ocean as a fish, and you hardly even know until he goes over to the Far East and he's thrown up on the banks, and suddenly you come to realize, wow, I was in water. I didn't even realize it. It's the same way in America. We're in the briar patch and we hardly even recognize it. And what these briars do is they suck the life out of the vitality of Christianity. That's what briars do. I mean, that's what we see is the common thread through all these things that our Lord brings up. Listen, whatever pursuit you have in life that is not after the glory of God, it is a thorn and it is useless. It is that which just, it distracts us. It takes us away. Other things. It's just a distraction away from Christ. It pulls us, and we all feel that. We all feel it. We feel this, there's just an attraction. I mean, we have it. The little gizmos that technology is producing. You know, isn't it amazing how you can walk through your living room and how maybe perhaps it's the TV that calls out. It's just the stuff. Other things. Whatsoever you do, you should do to the glory of God. And what the thorns do is they take us away from that. They distract. Well, here's another reality about thorns. Thorns are indigenous to the soil. My dad was a farmer. I can remember springtime would come around. He's got to worry about how wet the fields are. Have they dried out enough? He can get out there with his tractor. Why? What does he need to do? Well, he's going to go out there with that plow first, and he's going to dig deep into that soil, and he's going to turn it over. And then he'd be out there with the disc, and he's breaking up the big clumps and leveling it out. Why? So that he can seed it. And he's out there with the seeder, and he's planting the seeds. And I remember big piles of lime coming in to make the pH in the soil right. He's got to think about fertilizer. He's got to think about herbicides, and he's got pesticides that he's got to think about using. And you know what? The fact is that anything good in our lives, we have to work. We have to cultivate to get it in there, right? Isn't that what Mac was telling us? Did you hear any words from 2 Peter there that indicated that, yes, in the power of God, in the grace of God, abiding in Christ, but did you hear any words in there that seemed like we have to put forth an effort to make those things happen? You see, thorns are indigenous to the soil. Back where I grew up, back behind the field, there was a briar patch. Now, I haven't seen those. You know, the raspberry kind of briar patches. You know, I don't see those so much in Texas. We have other stuff here, cactus and other things that poke you. But growing up in Michigan, I remember this great big briar patch back there. And you know what I thinking about this message, what I thought through in my mind? I never saw anybody over there watering it. You never had to cultivate the ground. You didn't have to fertilize it, and that thing just grew. It's native to the soil. And you see, that's true with us. Listen, even today, sin seeks to reign in these mortal bodies. Why? It's trying to get us to obey certain desires. Jesus is talking about desires for other things. That's exactly what this is. Other things. Grace is not native to the soil. The thorns are native. Thorns are easy. They grew up back there year after year. Nobody did anything. Nobody seeded it. Nobody fertilized it. Nobody plowed the soil. Those things grew. In fact, you had to fight to get those things out of there. You could go whack them. You could whack them off. You could go in there with a mower. And if you don't dig deep with that plow and unearth all those roots, those things come back. Just leave your ground fallow. I mean, it was like ground that you went over and you prepared for crops year after year. Just let it sit fallow for a little while. And suddenly there's thorns. How'd they get there? We didn't plant those. We didn't nurture those. Thorns are easy. Evil is easy. It's natural to the soil. It's natural to... The danger of thorns. You know, the danger of thorns is not what we might suppose. I probably should have gone around and asked some of you about thorn and briar stories so that I had some to share. I was racking my mind. You know, I grew up trouncing around the woods, hunting, riding motorcycles, snowmobiling. You know, I was thinking that even snowmobiling, we might have 2 feet of snow and you'd come to those places where those briars would come up right out of the snow, just, you know, arching across the tops. And even in the winter, you had to stay away from them. You didn't want to ride the snowmobile through there. And why? And I rode motorcycle. And you know, the thing is, typically, it around the area where you grow up, you knew where the briar patches and the thorn thickets were. And you knew sometimes deer hunting, you might have to crawl through a place. But it seemed like it was riding my motorcycle. I'd be in some place that I didn't really recognize, and you come around, all of a sudden you find yourself in them. Come home with bloody ankles, or you catch those things across your face, or across... Any of you ever had to pick them off you? Craig, you ever had to do that? I don't know where Craig is. What was the danger of thorns? I mean, when you think about them, what is it that is fearful about them? It's not what we think. Jesus isn't hitting a, you know, the thorn, we typically think, well, you know, it's got a sharp point on the end of it, and I'm afraid that it might poke me, it might cut me, it might tear my flesh and put your eye out. You'd drag one of those things across your eyeball, that wouldn't be good. I mean, that was always the thing. I can remember picking those things off me or bearing the wounds where they just, you know... But that isn't what Jesus is after here. It's not the needle likeness of the thorn that is so concerning to him. In fact, I just jotted down here, it's not the poke, but the choke. I mean, think about this. It's not so much whether we run into these briar patches and get tore up by them. What Jesus wants us to see is the sowing of seed, and perhaps a kernel of corn falls over there into the briar patch, and now it's springtime. And as that thing grows up, these briars are growing up around it. And you know what happens? Your plant's coming up, and the thorn roots are intermixing underground where you can't see. They're intermixing with the roots, your corn and your briars. These briars come up and they begin to crisscross and they begin to close in, and they, you know, there's only so much sunlight falling there, and these things are crossing over the top. You can imagine even some of them, now they weren't so much like vines, but you can imagine these things just pressing in. They're beginning to touch the plant, grow across it, grow across its leaves, even putting pressure on the neck of that plant, and they're just closing in on the top of it. You can see that picture in your mind. You know, the thing about it is that these thorns don't just tear the thing up by the root. They don't just rip it out of the ground. That's not it. You can see the plant there. It's, you know, it might have grown up, and you see it over there, you see it growing, you're wondering, is that thing going to be able to bring forth? It might even start to produce the ear. But the thing is, something happens. And by the time you get to the fall and you come over and look at it, there was an ear there. It has a semblance of look. But the plant isn't healthy. The plant has been, it's been deprived of something. It doesn't look like all the other ones. The dark greenness of it isn't there. It's got yellowish look to it. And it looks sickly and it doesn't look well. You can see that picture. That's the whole danger of the thorn is that it chokes. How do they choke? I mean, think about how they choke. I want you to think about how they choke, because this is your life. You think with me here. Just before I left, my wife got this Norfolk pine around Christmas time. She set it in our dining room. And I went and planted it outside in the yard. They probably don't grow in San Antonio, but I wanted to see if it would make it. And right before I came here, maybe the day before, I saw a great big weed that was growing up beside it, and I pulled it up. You know why I pulled it up? Because I just fertilized that thing, and I didn't want that weed sucking the nutrients out of the soil that I wanted in there for the tree. This is your life. This is the picture. Do you recognize there's only so much nutrient in the soil? There's only so much sunlight falling directly in line with where that plant is. And if the thorn gets it, be sure Christ doesn't. And that's our life. The corn doesn't get it if the thorn gets it. And Christ doesn't get in your life. Your life isn't spent on the fruitful things. The fruitful things. Surrender and love to Christ. Serving Him. Laying down my life for Him. Loving my fellow man. Growing in humility. Growing in holiness. Growing in a knowledge of the glory of God. Growing in a knowledge of this book. That's fruit. That's what fruit is. And what these thorns do is they choke the fruit. There's only so much. You only have so much time. Time. You only have so much. And I guarantee this. When your thoughts are consumed with your financial issues, when they are consumed with the pursuits of pleasure, when they are consumed with the cares of this world, they are not invested in the things that make you fruitful, and you know it. You do know it. Has it been the most fruitful time in your life when you got the new iPod or iPhone 5 and you're trying to figure it all out and you're going through it? Was that the day you won souls to Christ, the day you got that? I mean, honestly, the time that you sat down and had a marathon behind the TV, is that the day that you made the greatest advances in humility? And we are in a sea of thorns. And what they do is you only have so much capacity to think. You only have so much time in your life. And when these thorns are drawing away, it's thought. The thorns murder thought. The thorns murder time. James was just recently telling me about he and his wife saw some special on Bulgaria. He said that they showed a picture of a young lady, or they had film footage of her, video footage. She came into this home in Bulgaria for children. When she came in, she had a smile. There was life. He said they showed her later. She was shaking. All they did here was feed the children. They didn't love them. They didn't touch them. These children were just wastes of human life. And I heard about that and I thought, where? I thought about this picture that I was going to have as I stood here. No, but there's no Christian there. I saw a special on BBC recently where in Eastern Africa, maybe Nigeria and those surrounding areas, there's some false prophetess over there who wrote a book and made a movie on the fact that all these children over there are witches, and supposed pastors pronounce children in the churches to be witches. If something bad happens to a family, once that's pronounced, they're killing these kids, or they're just turning them out. There was one on the side of the street. What does all this have to do with it? I'm thinking, where are the Christians? Where are the Christians that are going in there? I've been watching Dispatches to the Front, made by Frontline Missions. This Dr. Kesey goes into the Balkans. Montenegro, it's called the Black Mountain, is what that name means. There's mountain ranges in there called the Accursed Mountains, or the Mountains of the Damned. They know of no Christians at all. There's no Christians in these cities. I just returned from India. I was sitting on the balcony with the DeVoe brothers from Canada, and a man walked down the street. I said, guys, that guy right there is almost inevitably going to go to hell. The three of us can't talk to him. He just went on down the street. I mean, I was looking around that city there in all the darkness, and I'm recognizing the needs in this world. And look, I want you to think, how much does it have to do with the thorns? How much are we being smothered? Even when you think about the fruitful soil, 30, 60, 100-fold. And I'm thinking, how much are we prevented from going from 30 to 100-fold in the fruitfulness of our lives as Americans just simply because of the thorns? I mean, I've been troubled just thinking. Jesus said, I don't have any place to lay my head. Here's a follower. Would He say that to us today? If Jesus was here and we said, Lord, we'll follow You. And He turned and said, I don't have any place to lay my head. What does that mean to you and me? What are our homes such a thorn that we can't break out and do the kind of things that Jesus Christ is calling us to do? There is a world of darkness out there, and are we going to sit in the thorn patches? I have a feeling we don't know how much they're smothering us. We probably don't fully realize how smothered we are. There is only a certain amount of time that you have. Time, that's what I see. These thorns choke the time. They take away the time. They draw the nutrients out of the allotted time that we have. And we don't have more than what we have. And our time is going by quickly. Just recently, I preached Ila Pederuti's funeral. I mean, think about it. Bob is gone. Ila is gone. Their time is gone. Their day for working is gone. They only had an allotted amount, and so do you and I. And it's ticking. It's going by. And as when I preached Isla's funeral, I was pressed by this thing even there of time. Her time ran out so soon. And I went through the Scriptures and I started pulling out how many different people in Scripture. Solomon, few days of his vain life, which he passes like a shadow. Like a shadow. Our lives are like a shadow. And here are all these thorns. I only have this little bit of allotted time, and they're pressing in upon me. And they're drawing my thoughts. They're consuming my thoughts. They're other things. They're challenging the mastery of God in my life. These riches are. Just the cares of this world. They just draw my mind. They draw my thoughts. They draw us. And so I'll tell you, some of those thorns are religious thorns. There's stuff that we're doing in our churches and we're consumed with that are just thorns. They don't involve us in the real fruitfulness. They suck away that which is better spent in other ways. Our time, a shadow, Solomon says, and his father, a few handbreadths. And that's it. That's your life. That's what he recognized. My life. Don't we feel it? The time is moving. The time is going by. My lifetime is as nothing before you, he said. All mankind stands as a mere breath. I mean, you kind of get the feeling. We're getting hit by this a lot in Scripture. It's because God wants us to wake up. This is a trial period. You have only but a little time. Eternity follows and eternity hastens. And you don't want to waste it. It is valuable. You need to redeem it. You need to buy it back. It needs to be precious to you. Don't let the thorns have it. The thorns, it's not that so much that they poke, it's that they choke. They choke. They choke the life out of us. And we're in it. We're in it. And what I'm recognizing more than anything else is, brethren, those things that we just get used to in life, we become unaware that they're there. We become unaware of how choked we are. A mere breath. As a shadow. David says, a passing shadow. He uses the term fleeting. Job says, remember that my life is a breath. Ethan, the Ezrahite, says, remember how short my time is. Here's Job and this guy. And they're saying this. They're beginning to recognize. And they're saying back to the Lord in their prayer, Lord, remember how short my time is. Remember. I mean, these are men that feel this. It's passing away. Quick, Lord, you need to come now. I don't have time to waste. Reminding the Lord knows full well how short our time is. And he seeks to persuade us again. It appears for a little time and then vanishes, says James. Like a flower of grass, he will pass away. Paul says, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. Moses says, like a dream. Psalm 102, like smoke. Does it sound like we have time for thorns? I mean, eternity hastens. It's coming on with breakneck speed. It's coming at us. And I look around in this world outside our four walls and outside of our country, and I'm looking out there, and it's the needs are so desperate. I see these Muslims in the Balkans, and there they are. The mountains of the damned. Are we okay with that? Are we okay just to seek the security and settle in and refine? You know, you take the sword and you brandish it, you polish it, you sharpen it, and then put it back on the shelf. Is that what we're supposed to do? Brethren, do we have time? We don't have time to cultivate thorns. And it's important for every one of us to begin to do some inventory on our lives. How much of this is thorn? How much of this is distraction? How much of this is away from what really matters? Brethren, we need to be cultivating that in our lives that is more and more putting ourselves on the altar, more and more invested in loving the Lord Jesus Christ and serving Him, following Him. What does that mean? I have no place to lay my head. The animals might, but I don't. What does that mean to us Americans? You know another text I find haunting? I find it haunting that Paul says to the Philippians that I'm going to send Timothy to you. And even in his day, he said, I don't have anybody else who is going to mind the things of Christ, not their own things. Other things. Not the things of Christ, other things. Isn't that amazing that Paul would say that of all the people that he knew and what God was doing in the early church and the people that were... And for him to say, I don't have anybody else. Timothy's the only one that's going to mind the things of Christ. It's like the thorns. There goes Demas. The things of this world, they just... There's an attraction. There's really an attraction. Do we have time to cultivate these things, brethren? We need an army of soldiers that's going to rise up and say no to these thorns. And we're going to throw them off. The needs in this world are too great. I remember we had Doug Nichols come some years ago to our church. I had heard this guy, he did the missionary segment there at Piper's Conference back in the 90s. And I learned of this guy, and we had him come down to San Antonio. And he was just saying to us, just do what you can do. He said, some of you can go over to Africa and you can hold children and rock them. Why? Why is that so necessary? Because if you go to Bulgaria and you look at these children, yes, they have a bed and they have food, but they're losing their minds because nobody touches them and shows the love of Christ. Doug is saying to us, you can go to Africa and rock the children in a rocking chair. That's what some old ladies do. They go over there and they take those years of their lives and they hold these children one after another. That's their duty. And they rock them. They caress them. They show them that they love them. That is casting off the thorns. That is a life well spent. We need the people that are going to bring their alabaster boxes. She did what she could. Are we doing what we can, or are we serving the thorns? We need to do inventory. We do. Of all this kindness of God that we've heard about in this conference, is there not a place for some of us to say, I'm done with the thorns and I'm going to go shine forth that kindness out there in the world? I don't like it that there's a city in the Balkans that's in this valley surrounded by these mountains of the damned where there's no Christian. I don't like it that over in Bulgaria there's no Christian witness there reaching it. I don't like it that it's secular people that have to come down and rescue these supposed witch children from some false churches over there. I don't like that there's people wandering the streets of India that are just going to die and they're never going to have heard. The truth that you've heard in this weekend, how much of the world do you think... You know, we can't hardly... You can hear about what's happening in Mexico, but I guarantee you, don't be fooled by that. There are massive populations of people down there that have never heard a clear gospel presentation, and there are people all over this world that have never heard the name even of Christ. There is love that you can show. There are things that you can do. We get so Americanized. There's an Americanized thorn. And we almost don't even perceive that they're there and how much they literally choke and they pull away from us what ought to be the Lord's. And you know how time is. Time, time, time. It's only accelerating. As we get closer and closer to the end, it's just like this thing is going faster and faster and faster. And it's more of a blur as going by. And we realize, I'm going to get to the end very soon. We need to live while we live. And we need to live resisting the thorn patches. Just like I said before, look, some, I don't doubt, some in this room are going to wake up one day and you're going to realize that those thorns choked you to death. And you're going to find that you are in a sad situation. And you're going to be just like those in the parable. But those thorns, they do the same to the Christians in this room. They choke. Thorns choke. That's what they do. That's the danger of them. They choke, they choke, they choke. And time is lost, and it's valuable, and it's going, and it's passing, and we're just accelerating, very soon it's going to be us. That there's going to be the conference, and they're going to say, oh, I remember Bob. You know, I was imagining Bob coming up here, but he's gone now. His day to work is gone. We have to work while it's day. The night's coming. Our salvation is drawing nearer than when we first believed. It's coming. We don't want to waste this. These thorns. I mean, I feel them too. I feel them, and I feel desperate. I want to break away from them. I don't want to be entangled. I don't want to be ensnared, and I don't want to be choked. Look, there is a place for rest. There is a place for relaxation. There is a place to have to deal with money. But how much money could be freed up? How many in this room is money more of a thorn than it is an aid? It could be released. You could trust the Lord. There's undoubtedly reserves that could be freed up. How much are you doing with your time? That it's just time if you look at it. It doesn't have eternal value. That's eternal value, rocking a child. That has eternal value. I mean, sometimes we get this idea, well, it takes just preachers. And no, undoubtedly, we need preachers out there. We need men that know the gospel, women that know the gospel, that can go out there and proclaim. And in so much of the societies out there, men can't just reach in among the female communities there. We need women that are going to go as well. Again, you watch these frontline dispatches to the front. You know, you see this woman who is going out among these Muslim women. The Serbians came in over there, some of those villages. One village they go to, all 140 men were killed by the Serbians in one day. You literally have, you know, what's left over from that. That only happened a little over 10 years ago. You have all these women. Just fields are ripe. Where are the women that are going to go? Where are those of us that are going to send them with our prayers and with the finances? Brethren, when we have been desperate for so long to have help down in Mexico, and we have a group of people like this, Is this all? Is this all there is? Is this what God's called us to do? I mean, are there not thorns that we need an army of God that's going to rise up and say, no, I'm not going to be choked by those thorns. Brethren, we heard this again last week from Brother Andy. Again, he recited the fact. Elizabeth Elliot was turned down from serving there with Amy Carmichael in the 50s because she deemed Americans as unfit for the mission in the 50s. See, the thorns had gotten them. That's the reputation from a woman that labored her whole life in India. The thorns got us. We're not fit. I mean, something about all this kindness of God we heard. Oh, may, brethren, may God give us what Brother Charles talked about last night. Brother John hinted at it yesterday. The Spirit of God fell among the Moravians back in the early 1700s, came down among them and unleashed the power of God in the hearts and souls of these people. They threw off those thorns. They said, we're going. We're going north. We're going south. And they went and they sent their best. And they supported them. And when those died, you know, what'd they send? 12 to the Caribbean and 9 died. And another wave went in. Brethren, where is that? We need that among us. In a group this size, how much could we affect the world? Or is God calling us to all stay nice, safe, and secure right in our own churches? Not to break out. Not to go. We need to bring our alabaster boxes that it might be said of us one day, they did what they could. And the thorns are a hindrance to that. You know it. You know they are. There's not a one of us here. Have you found that fretting and worrying over financial situations has helped you spiritually when your mind has just been absorbed with the cares, some care? And isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing the kind of things that we can get taken up with that can begin to fill the mind and that can just become a distraction to us? Every time Hudson Taylor wanted to launch deeper and deeper into China, God moved among the English-speaking world and other parts of the world to bring in a people to make that advance. Are we not in a day when an advance is necessary? I have haunting pictures in my mind of Brother Charles. Carlos and I went into Cambodia a couple years ago. That place is so dark. What the Khmer Rouge did there, what Pol Pot did there 30 years later, it is dark. It is dark. It needs light. Egypt. Kevin and I went there a little over a year ago. Egypt. It's in the news all the time. I can't shake it. They need help. They need depth. They need solid churches. They need somebody reaching the Muslims. I mean, one of the things that hit me over there is most of the converts have come out of the Coptic church. None of the people were Muslim converts that I remember. Who's reaching the Muslims? Who's going to go? Are we going to stand back afraid? All these reports of Al-Qaeda and everything, are they going to make us cower in the corners and leave these people out there to perish? Is that what we're going to do? Is that what they did in the early church? Was that the Roman system and all their Greek and Roman God? Was that not intimidating? Were they not just as weak then? And it's not just, these thorns are not just prevalent in our age. I know, obviously, in Paul's own, these people, I can find nobody else that's going to mind the things of Christ. They're minding their own things. They're taken up with things they ought not to be. Even the church, when it was given its marching orders there in the book, at the end of Matthew and end of Mark and Luke, how it's almost like the Lord had to send persecution to unseat the people because they just didn't go of their own accord. May God unseat us, brethren. And you know what? Just as Ryan said, may He unseat us by the grace of God. May we be unseated by the kindness of God. May something about this kindness of God just grab hold of us. And if God has been that kind to me, there's a place for me to go to Bulgaria. There's a place for me to go to Africa or to think. Or if you're going to stay here at home, you're going to pray more desperately. You saw the pictures of Ravenhill. You know, I've heard things about how many hours a day. Maybe that's what it is. You're just going to pray. You're going to hold up. I hear about people that I hear are praying for us. That's great encouragement. That's again, Brother Andy was with us last week, and he said, "Brother, is this the place you pray?" He said, "This is where the battle's won." Well, that's true. We need prayer warriors. I guarantee you, when you're consumed by the thorns and they're ingrowing, they're crushing in, they're smothering and they're choking, it chokes out those good things. It chokes out the fruit. It chokes out the prayer life. It's a distraction. It desires for other things. It takes us off the kingdom. It takes us off these necessities. It gets out of our minds needs in other places. Brothers and sisters, we have very little time left. A shadow, a vapor, a breath, and we're going to be gone. We're just going to be gone. Redeem the time. Count it as precious. Count it as valuable. Don't let it slip away. Don't let these messages, don't let slip an earnestness for the Spirit of God that we heard about. We need the Spirit of God. We need Him to give us what we need to accomplish this task. But my brothers and sisters, when our risen Savior left this earth, He told us, I want you to go. This is how my kingdom spreads. I want the excellencies of my name proclaimed out there in the darkness. That's how it spreads. It doesn't just, you know, look, the story about the witch last night is not the typical way in which the gospel spread. Even there, she came to the people that could tell her the way, much like we're there with Cornelius and Peter. The angel may have come and directed Cornelius to go in a certain direction, but it is through the preachers, it is through the proclamation, it is through demonstrations of the love of Christ. That's how this kingdom is expanded. We, if we're going to be faithful, we cannot just park ourselves and be content to just let the briar patch grow in around us. I plead with you, brethren, are there not some of you, whether it's in a compassion direction, it's just loving little children, something. You know what the thorns do? They kill good intentions. How many of us have had good intentions about something we wanted to give to, or we want to earnestly pray about something, or we think about the possibility of striking out and maybe giving ourselves to some certain endeavor? And you know, isn't it amazing how fast life, you know, when you're young, you kind of think, well, you know, even if I don't learn to play the piano now, I could do it sometime in my life. Even if I don't learn to do this now, I've got my whole life. And suddenly you wake up one day and you realize, I don't have time for everything. It's going to behoove me to give myself to one or two things and try to do them as best as I can and aim at it and focus at it, not be distracted. And that's the thorns. They're just distractions. They pull us away. I think Spurgeon said something like, you know, better to plant, you know, with earnestness, direction, intention, plant one seed, get one plant and the harvest of that, rather than thinking about fertilizing and planting the whole Sahara Desert. I mean, just striving, brethren, striving, giving ourselves. Not just, there's lots of good intentions, but putting some of these intentions there where we just say, away thorns, back off. We're going to give ourselves to serving the Lord this way. Brethren, we are being flung through time at accelerating speed. Paul says, the time is short. We don't have time to play the pleasures. We got to get off pursuing what's fun. I mean, I think about thorns. You know, thorns show up another place. I was just thinking of our Lord wearing the thorns, pressing in upon His brow. I was picturing Him in my mind. Is He not worthy? Is He not worthy to cast off the air conditioning and cast off the comforts and even some of us say goodbye to our houses? Kind of an echo of Jesus, I don't have a place to lay my head. Doesn't that haunt some of you, that has almost no application to us? Is there not a place for a number of us to turn our back on our homes, our stuff? Say, Lord, with Your help, I'm but weak, I'm insufficient for this. But I'll go, Lord. I'll go if You would have me go. If I can help. I just want you to consider these things. Consider these just some thoughts on the thorns. Let's pray. Lord, I pray. I pray that You would give us truly an army that would scorn these thorns and turn their back. I pray that for myself, my family, our church, these churches represented here, these brethren that are here. Like John was saying yesterday, that Mac told him that every time revival has come, there's been some thrust forward. Lord, don't let us stagnate in this country. Please, Lord. Lord, I fear that we as a country are in a place that perhaps not many of us are going to be hundredfold. And we're going to find out that we were choked more than we realized. Lord, don't let us be. Be faithful to us. Lord, in all the kindness that we've heard about this week, be kind, Lord. Be kind to bring to Your church whatever it needs to wake us up, to cast these things off. Lord, to be aggressive in this. Lord, I pray for fruitfulness for my brethren. I pray for a growing faith, a growing love, for growing brotherly affection, for a growing concern in their hearts for the lost, for growing humility, for growth in holiness, growth in Christ-likeness, growth in purity, growth in zeal, seeking to outdo one another and serving one another and preferring one another, the needs of one another. Lord, may these just prayerfulness, I pray, Father, that the fruit of this collective people would not be choked, but may it come to fruition. May it be hundredfold, raise up hundredfold soldiers of the cross in this place. Implant the image of the thorns upon our Savior's brow. A brow of such majesty, bearing the thorn of man's cruelty. May that image of thorns Oh God, help us. Lord, we can't control the Spirit as we heard last night. We can't. We know we can't. This is something that You do. Breathe on us, breath of God. Breathe life into us. Breathe. Help us to live while we live. Help us to count our time as very valuable. Let us not fritter away our days and play with trivialities and trivial toys and the latest technological gadgets. Lord, help us to break free of those things. Help us to break free of land and home and stuff and time wasters and distraction. Help us, Lord, please help us. By the mercies of God, we plead to You to help us. Lord, by this kindness of God, please help us. Please compel us forward. Lord, just constrain by the great mercies and the great kindness. Constrain us, Lord, to share this mercy of God, this love of God with those who are out there, like that man we saw walking by on the streets, who undoubtedly, Lord, I pray for that man. Could there be a possibility that John Dees would intercept that very man and preach the truth to him? Father, I pray that some here would have a burden for children in Bulgaria or Africa. That they would have a burden to go out among all these girls that are lured into prostitution in Asia. And Lord, those just a nation, the great nations of China and India, as they sit there and they rot in their darkness of Hinduism and atheism. And Lord, this circle of silence down in Mexico, a silence that's silent to the gospel. Where are the people who are proclaiming the truth there? We have this missionary graveyard over there in North India. And where are the voices that are crying out? Where, Lord, where? Where are those that are willing to go and endure the smog and the stench, the lack of air conditioning and the disease and all the darkness and the filth of the place, and to reach in and show the love of Christ? Where is it, Lord? We can glory in what we see people like the Hamiltons do, but raise up an army of those people. Let it not just be one or two that we hear about and we get excited about, but Lord, may it be us, Lord, laying down lives to go, to reach. Give us a burden, Lord, that there are people out there that are never going to hear. Give us a burden for the value of souls that are just perishing. They're going off, multitudes, just off into a crisis eternity, duly suffering for their sins, justly, but having gone there with nobody pleading with them to come to Christ, nobody showering them with the kindness that we've heard about in these days, the kindness of the sphere of forgiveness purchased for us by the shed blood of our glorious Savior, magnified at the right hand of God. Lord, we pray that this knowledge of the glory of the Lord would just sweep across this earth in a tidal wave that would hold many, Lord, many from our country, from this room. Lord, dear Lord, is there not reason to send your Spirit? Lord, not just that we feel good, not just that we have exciting stories to tell one another, to amaze one another with, but Lord, sending your Spirit among us to really work Christ-likeness in us, where He could look out among the crowds and He felt compassion. And Lord, if we have to admit it, the thorns have so choked us sometimes that we look at the perishing, we don't feel anything. We feel nothing. We don't care. And it's true, Lord. We look on others often and we don't think, we don't care. We're distracted. We're thinking more about money than about the fact that very soon they're going to go to hell and nobody has told them. Is that not reason to send your Spirit, dear Father? Please give us the gift of an outpouring of the Spirit in our day like they had among the Moravians. Please, Lord, please. We would cry out as they did. Lord, remember, our time is short. Our time. Remember, Father, we don't have much time here. Soon we go the way of Bob and Isla, and we're a memory among our brethren. Our time is this fleeting, passing shadow, Father. Don't leave us here in our own strength. Come, give us the strength of God. Give us the heart of God. Give us to be imitators of God and to walk in love as Christ walked, as He gave Himself up for us. Just as He was a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God, may this room be full of people that will offer themselves up upon the altar of God, a fragrant offering and sacrifice. Lord, awake the old, that their lives are not done. It's not time to coast into retirement. They can give their years in a much better way, unchoked. Lord, make us fear the thorns. Make us dread the thorns. Make us hate the thorns that would distract us and lure us away to other things that would be unprofitable, that we'll be ashamed of. Even if we stand redeemed in that day, it'll just be chaff to be burned away. We don't want that, Lord. Help us. Lord, we know our tendencies. We know that the evil is easy. We know that the thorns are easy. We know that the distractions are easy. We know that we have to cultivate that which is good. We have to cultivate the fruit. We have to fight the good fight. We have to put to death by the Spirit. There's a fight here. Everything that's good is hard. Lord, we need the determination. Please, Lord, again, breathe your Spirit into us. Give us the determination. Give us the help. Lord, send. Move. Lord, don't leave us to just read about history and the Moravians. Let us live it today. Let us, Lord, give us 12 people that might go off into the darkness, that we would lower down by the rope, though 9 never come back, to all the more inspire another wave to go behind. Lord, don't let us sleep amongst the thorns. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.